بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد نواصل we continue our reading in عمدة الأحكام by الحافظ عبد الغني المقدسي رحمه الله تعالى كتاب الطهارة the chapter of الطهارة Continue our readings in Bab Ghusl al-Janabah, the chapter with regards to the Ghusl of Janabah, or the issues of al-Janabah, and the al-Hadith al-Akbar, al-Hadith al-Akbar. We have seen that the Hadith al-Akbar, it is something that is established in the entire body, and it's not sufficient to only make wudu, to remove this Hadith. Rather, the al-Ghusl al-Shar'i must be performed in order for that Hadith to be removed. We have seen the al-ghusl al-mujzi', the one that is sufficient for removing this hadith, the ghusl that is sufficient for removing this hadith, and likewise al-ghusl al-kamil li Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And just to review briefly, the ghusl al-kamil is that the person, whenever he makes wudu, whenever he makes the ghusl, he begins with the intention to make ghusl, meaning he wants to remove that hadith al-akbar. And he wants to remove the hadith entirely, the hadith al-akbar wa al-askar. Naam, so he has the intention to make ghusl. He washes his hands. A person will wash his hands two or three times, as in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa ba'da dhalika yastanji. And then after that he makes al-istinja, meaning he washes his private parts with the left hand. After that one will clean their hands again, because they have just cleaned their private parts. So it's very suitable for him to clean his hands again. For him to clean his hands again. And then after that he makes the wudu. The wudu that he makes for salat. He makes the wudu that he makes for the salat entirely, including his feet, and the entire wudu. Then after that, he will take the water with his fingers and put it in his hair until he feels like he has put the water all the way to the root of his scalp, and the scalp has become wet. At this time, he will pour three handfuls of water on his head, and then after that, he will wash the rest of his body, meaning that the water will go to the rest of the body. The water will go to the rest of the body. If he has done this, then he has completed the ghusl that is considered al-ghusl al-kamil. This, according to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, gathering between the narrations of Aisha radiallahu anha, with the different wordings, and likewise the narration of Maymunata radiallahu anha also. Gathering between these narrations. Now, so we continue reading, and the author he says, "An Abdullah ibn Umar, radiyallahu anhuma, an Umar ibn al-Khattabi, radiyallahu anhu, qala, ya Rasulullah, arqudu, afwan, ayarqudu ahaduna, wa huwa junubun? Qala, na'am, idha tawadda'a ahadukum falyarqud." This is the narration of Abdullah ibn Umar, radiyallahu anhuma. He's narrating on his father. Abdullah ibn Umar, he's narrating on his father, Umar ibn Khattab, radiyallahu anhuma. He said that his father, Umar, he said to the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Messenger of Allah, ayarqudu ahaduna wa huwa junub? Can one of us lay down and go to sleep whenever he is junub, yani ذو جنابتن, yani whenever he has a janaba, whenever he's in the state of janaba? This is the question Umar, he asked. Can one of us go to sleep in a state of janaba? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qala na'am. He said, yes. إِذَا تَوَضَّعَ أَحَدُكُمْ فَلْيَرْقُدْ. Yes, if you make wudu. If one of you makes wudu, then he can go to sleep. يعني يرقد هنا يعني رقد من هذا رقد من باب نصر صرف محمد
رقد
من باب نصر
رقد يقرود رقد
من باب نصر
يرقد
أرقد نعم المصدر له مصدران على وزن فعول وفعال رقودا ورقادا رقودا ورقادا يعني النوم في الليل أو النهار يعني النوم يعني يركض لينام يعني ليلا أو نهارا نام so to lay down and to go to sleep they call it رقادا يرقد أرقد Ruqudan wa raqadan, meaning to go to sleep in the nighttime or in the daytime. So the question is here, should we, yani ayarqudu, yani should one of us go to sleep? Wa huwa junub. Whenever he's in the state of a janaba, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned yes. Yes, it's permissible. Meaning, is it permissible? Is it permissible? What's the ruling of being in a state of janaba and then going to sleep? Being in a state of janaba and then after that going directly to sleep. What's the ruling? Can a person sleep upon janaba or does he have to make ghusl? Or is it obligatory to make ghusl right any immediately? If a person is in a state of janaba or if he has a major hadith, is it an obligation to remove that hadith immediately? A dalil? Before this hadith. This hadith is a dalil for that. But we learned before this.
And
What was it? Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he was in the street. He was in the streets of Medina and he was upon janaba. وَكَانَ جُنُوبًا And he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he took the Prophet and he went with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and set him down until he found this place that he was going to. He set him down and then all of a sudden he snuck away without informing or anything. After he set him down and whenever he had a chance, he slipped away unnoticed. Unnoticed. And whenever he came back, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَيْنَ كُنْتِ يَا أَبَا هُرَيْرَةَ Where were you at? Where were you at? What happened to you? He said that he was upon janaba and he disliked to be sitting around the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he's upon a state of janaba. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam he did not find fault with him for being in a state of janaba. Rather, he said to him, "Subhanallah, al-mu'minu la yanjusu, al-mu'minu la yanjusu." Nam, that the believer he never becomes najis. Meaning, so this is indication. The ulama they mentioned it's permissible for him to be on. And if it was not permissible, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would have reprimanded him and would have corrected him about that issue. But rather, he corrected him about another issue that he thought that it was not permissible for him to sit in his company while he's upon a state of janaba. Rather, that's permissible because a believer, he does not become najis. So this is an evidence that it's not an obligation to remove the hadith at akbar immediately. Like if a person is in a state of janaba, it's permissible for him to take care of his worldly needs or to go out of his home. This is something that is permissible. This is something that is allowed and permissible. So likewise, then the same ruling here with regards to the hadith of Umar radiallahu anhu, is it permissible for one of us to go to sleep whenever he is in a state of janaba? Here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he mentioned yes, with the condition, إِذَا تَوَضَّعَ أَحَدُكُمْ Either if one of you makes wudu, then he can go to sleep. Then he can go to sleep. So this is an evidence that it's or supportive evidence for what has preceded, that it's not an obligation to remove al-hadith al-akbar immediately. Rather, it can be delayed. If a person needs to, then it's allowed for him to delay it. And also this يَرْكُدُ إِذَا تَوَضَّعَ أَحَدُكُمْ فَلْيَرْكُدُ Also this is an evidence that we see that al-hadith al-akbar, it can be lightened. It can be lightened. And it's a major impurity, but that major it's a major hadith, but that major hadith can be lightened. And يمكن تخفيفه. It can be lightened. And this is the evidence here. Yes, you can sleep while you're in a state of janaba, but you make wudu. So this is an indication that it doesn't remove, the wudu does not remove the hadith at akbar, but it makes it lighter. Makes it lighter. His situation makes it easier and lighter for him. And now it's permissible for him to sleep in this state. Likewise, for the one who is in the state of janaba and he has to stay in the masjid, for example, he needs to stay in the masjid, or he's staying in the masjid, or he has a need to be in the masjid, and then he found himself in a state of janaba, and there's no water, or it's not possible for him to use water. Then there's no tayammum also in this situation, that he can lighten his janaba and make wudu. And this is something that the Sahaba, they used to do. This has been narrated on the Sahaba likewise, that one of them will be in a state of janaba and he would be staying in the masjid, and then he would lighten that state while by making wudu. So in any case, at hadith al-akhbar, yumkinu takhfifuhu, it's possible to lighten it by making wudu. And this hadith here is one of the evidences for that. And also the from the actions of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. So now we see, نعم إذا توضأ أحدكم فليركض. Here's a condition. Yes, if you make wudu, then go to sleep. You can sleep. So now is an obligation to make wudu. What is apparent from the hadith, this is it's an obligation, but the ulama, they differed about this, and the Shaykh Ibn Baz, he mentioned it's highly recommended. And it's not an obligation where the one who didn't make wudu and he went to sleep, he'd be sinning. But it's highly recommended and it's disliked. It's disliked to sleep upon janabah without making wudu. And some of the ulama, they mentioned from here that one of the benefits for commanding or any ordering, even if it's not an obligatory order, to make wudu is because the person, if he goes make wudu, then maybe whenever he starts making wudu, he'll realize, okay, now I just make the ghusl. He'll just make the ghusl. So at first, if he's laying there, maybe he'll not have the energy or find himself in a state of laziness like this, and he will stay there. But if he gets up to go make wudu, after that, maybe he'll start feeling the water, or he'll get up and he will move around and he'll be like, khalas, it's more beneficial for me to make the wudu now. Especially if it's at nighttime, that way I don't have to get up in the morning and take care of this and it'll be ready, so on and so forth. So from the wisdoms, the ulama, they mentioned about this, yani the command here to make wudu is so that a person possibly, he will actually have get up to make wudu, then he will go ahead and make the whole ghusl and remove the hadith. But in any case, the best position, and Allah knows best, is that it's disliked for a person to sleep in a state of janabah without making wudu. So it's recommended, and it's better. If a person is going to sleep upon janabah, it's permissible, but it's recommended for him to make wudu first. Naam. Also, it has been narrated from Aisha radiallahu anha that she said, "Kana Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." This is not from the narrations of that the author has mentioned, and we just add additional hadith to the issue. She said, radiallahu anha, "Kana Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam idha rada an yanama wa huwa junubun ghasala farjahu wa tawadda'a wudu'ahu lis-salat." Akhrajahu al-Bukhari. So it's been narrated by Aisha radiallahu anha in Sahih al-Bukhari that she said, if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if he wanted to sleep and he was junub, he would wash his private parts and then he would make wudu for the salat. He would make wudu for the salat. Naam. So in this narration of Umar radiallahu anhu, the Prophet mentioned, Naam, idha tawadda ahadukum. Now, but there's a further clarification in the actual action of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Here we have the statement of the Prophet telling Umar that he should make wudu. If you make wudu, then you can sleep. Now, but here we have the action of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that is narrated to us by his wife Aisha radiallahu anha, that if he would go to sleep upon janabah, he would wash his private parts first, and then he will make wudu for the salat sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Again, we see the benefit, huh? The benefit of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam having more than one wife, also having different companions at different ages and the likes, so different people in contact with him, and because of now the narrations and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and all of these different aspects of his life is being narrated to the ummah, because he is the final prophet. And there's no prophet after him, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And there's no legislation after him, and his legislation is complete. Naam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned that the example of him and the previous prophets is like a beautiful building or a structure, except for one corner is missing. And people would go around the building and say, MashaAllah, this is such a nice building, very beautiful structure, except for that one corner right there. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, I'm that corner. And he meaning the Sharia of Allah azza wa jal was completed by the coming of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Sharia that has been completed, the previous legislations, although the usul and of aqaid and al-iman were the same, but the legislations differed from the haram and the haram, all the way into the legislation of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It abrogated everything that has preceded, and it is the final revelation and the final legislation, complete and perfect for mankind until the day of resurrection. Until the day of resurrection, walillah alhamd. So this is from the wisdom. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had many wives, and he, for this purpose, they're transmitting his sunnah. They're transmitting his sunnah and seeing him in different instances and circumstances and private instances such as this one. Likewise, from the wisdom of the fact that Aisha, she was young. She remembers, she has strong memory, memorizing the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and also asking questions about particular issues. And then after that, transmitting to the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, transmitting the sunnah. So likewise, she narrates another narration. وَعَنْهَا كَانَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ إِذَا كَانَ جُنُوبًا فَأَرَادَ أَنْ يَأْكُلَ أَوْ يَنَامُ.
تَوَضَّعَ وُضُوءَهُ لِلصَّلَاةِ. And here's also an extra addition that Aisha, she has mentioned, رضي الله عنها, this is a wording in Sahih Muslim, that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, if he was in a state of janaba, if he was in a state of janaba and he wanted to eat, or he wanted to sleep, then he would make wudu. The same wudu that he makes for the salah. So then it's recommended. These are from the times that we have seen previously that it's mustahab. It's mustahab to make wudu at these times. It's recommended to make wudu. If a person is in a state of janaba and he wanted to eat or drink, na'am, then he'll make wudu. And if he didn't have time or it's not suitable for him to go make ghusl at that moment, then he can make wudu, lightening the al-hadith al-akbar, and then he can eat and take care of his business and then make the ghusl later. Likewise, if he wanted to sleep, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Also in Sahih Muslim, it's been narrated as well, there was a man, his name, from the Tabi'een, his name is Abdullah ibn Abi Qais. Abdullah ibn Abi Qais, rahimahullah, he said, it's mentioned that he asked Aisha radiallahu anha, about Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam fil janaba. He said, أَكَانَ يَقْسِلُ قَبْرَ أَنْ يَنَامُ أَوْ أَمْ يَنَامُ قَبْرَ أَنْ يَقْسِلُ. يعني أَكَانَ يَقْتَسِلُ عَفْوًا قَبْرَ أَنْ يَنَامُ أَوْ أَنْ يَنَامُ قَبْرَ أَنْ يَقْتَسِلُ. Did the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to make ghusl before he slept, and he from janaba, or did he make ghusl after he slept, or did he sleep first and then make ghusl? نعم. So she said, قَالَتْ كُلُّ ذَلِكَ قَدْ كَانَ يَفْعَلُ صلى الله عليه وسلم ربما اغتسل فنام وربما توضأ فنام. نعم. She said, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to do all of that. And did he used to make ghusl before he slept from janaba, or did he sleep first and then make ghusl later? Aisha رضي الله عنها, we see that he's asking this. And this is from the diligence of the tabi'een to learn from the companions. They're asking, and he's asking her the detailed questions like this so he knows the ruling. And he did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make ghusl before, from the janaba, he slept, or after he slept? She said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to do all of that. He used to do all of that. She said, maybe sometimes he would make ghusl and then sleep, and then maybe sometimes he would make wudu and then sleep, meaning make ghusl after he slept. Meaning make ghusl after he slept. So Abdullah ibn Abi Qais, he says, قُلْتُ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي جَعَلَ فِي الْأَمْرِ سَعَةً. Alhamdulillah, الَّذِي جَعَلَ فِي الْأَمْرِ سَعَةً. He said, Alhamdulillah, all praise and thanks to Allah who has made this affair easy. Had made this affair easy. And the religion of Allah Azza wa Jal is made easy for the believers. وَلِلَّهِ الْحَمْدُ. And this is from the examples of that. This is from the examples of that. Likewise, the author, he mentioned the next narration, he says, an ummi salamata zawj an-nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qalat ja'at ummu sulaym imra'atu abi talha ila rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fa qalat ya rasulullah inna allaha la yastahyi min al-haq hal 'ala al-mar'ati min ghuslin idha hiya ihtalamat. فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم نعم إذا رأت الماء. نعم إذا رأت الماء. So the author, he mentioned the narration of Ummi Salama رضي الله عنها, the wife of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. She said that Sulaim came, that Sulaim is the wife of Abi Talha. She came to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and she said, O Messenger of Allah, verily Allah, He is not shy from the truth. Verily Allah, He is not shy from the truth. Is it obligatory for a woman to make ghusl if she has a wet dream? So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, yes, if she sees the fluid. Yes, if she sees the fluid. Naam. So this is a great narration with much benefit. But first, from the narration of Salama. What's her name? Some of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam have preceded. Two of them have preceded so far. Who are they? Aisha bintu Abi Bakr. As-Siddiqa bintu As-Siddiq radiyallahu anhuma. And the next one? Maimuna bintu Al-Harith Al-Hilaliyah. And she is the sister of
Ali.
Umm al-Fadl. Umm al-Fadl. She's the sister of Umm al-Fadl. Who's Umm al-Fadl?
Zawjatu
al-Abbas. So then that makes Maymuna, the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the aunt, the khala of al-Fadl and his brother. Who's his brother? Abdullah ibn Abbas. That's the, we want to get there to the point. Now, Abdullah ibn Abbas, and he's al-Fadl also is from those companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, those virtuous companions. But more well known, Abdullah ibn Abbas. Naam, Abdullah ibn Abbas, and that's his aunt. So maybe later we will see narrations whenever he spent the night with his aunt. And in order to be with his aunt, or in order to watch the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how he works at nighttime. Naam. So that was two. That's the mention of two of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wa radiyallahu anhunna. Here we have another wife. Her name, or her kunya, Um Salama. Her name is Hind bint Abi Umayyah al Qurashiyah al Makhzumiyah. She was from the first of those to accept Islam. She accepted Islam and she made hijrah. To the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and she was married to Abu Salama. She was married to Abu Salama, and he was the son of the aunt of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and his brother from Rada'a, his brother from nursing, Abu Salama. He was the brother of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from Rada'a. And also he was the son of his amma, of his aunt, from his father's side, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Abu Salama, it was mentioned about him that he was very righteous man. And he died in the battle of Uhud. He died in the battle of Uhud, radiallahu anhu. Um Salama, radiallahu anha. Likewise, she's a righteous woman. Of course, the wife of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She mentioned, she's the one who narrated. She mentioned many narrations. But from those narrations, she narrated the hadith of al-istirja. Hadith al-istirja. What does that mean? Istarja. Yastarji'u. Istarji'. Istirja'an. Ahsant. Allahu Akbar. Sahih. Istarja'a. Istarja'a means that whenever there's a calamity, a befalls, it's legislated for a believer, and yastarja'a. Yani, and yakula inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. This is the legislation. That word here, istarja'a, means to say that. So this is an example. In sarf, that this wasn't istaf'ala, it summarizes. It has many meanings, this scale. Istaf'ala. One of the meanings is اختصار الجملة. اختصار الجملة كاملة. So فلان استرجع. It means so and so said, إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. So this is the hadith about this narration. So she says, رضي الله عنها. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, ما من مسلم تصيبه مصيبة فيقول ما أمره الله إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون اللهم اخلف لي اللهم اجرني في مصيبتي وأخلف لي خيرا منها. She said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that there is no Muslim who says if there is a calamity that befalls him, that which Allah has commanded him to say. That's the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam referring to where, to what. ما من مسلم تصيبه مصيبة فيقول ما أمره الله. So he says what Allah commanded him to say. That's in reference to what? Aywa. But Allah, what Allah commanded him to say. Where did Allah command him to say something about this issue? If somebody has inflicted him with the calamity. Huh? Aywa. Aywa. Fi kitabillah. Naam.
Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi.
Who knows the verse? Surah Al-Baqarah. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْجُوعِ وَالْخَوْفِ وَنَقْصٍ فِي الْأَمْوَالِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ أُولَئِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَلَوَاتٌ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ وَرَحْمَةٌ وَأُولَئِكَ هُمْ الْمُهْتَدُونَ. Now, in reference to the verse, so this is a hadith, another example of the sunnah explaining the Quran. The sunnah explaining the Quran. The sunnah to tufassiru al-Quran. Naam. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that there's no Muslim who says what Allah has commanded him to say at the time of calamity. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. And we are verily, we are from Allah and to Him we are returning. Oh Allah, Allahumma jurni fi musibati wa akhlifli khayran minha. Oh Allah, reward me in my calamity. And He reward me for my patience. And reward me for my patience and my belief in the decree. Naam. And give me something better in return. And give me something better in return. She's the one narrating this narration. Huh? And give me something better in return. And she says, and so she narrates this narration. Now she says herself, قَالَتْ فَلَمَّا مَاتَ أَبُو سَلَمَةً. She said, so when Abu Salama, he died, رضي الله عنه, Abu Salama, he was a righteous man. Abu Salama, he was a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was a righteous man, Abu Salama. She said that whenever Abu Salama died, she said to herself, Kultu, ayu, and she's thinking about this calamity. What are you supposed to say? It's a great calamity. Her husband died, Abu Salama, righteous husband, he died in the battle of Uhud, radiallahu anhu. So she's narrating, she's the one who narrated this, she heard this narration from the Prophet. She gets to the part, the one who says this, oh Allah, reward me in my calamity and give me something better. About this part, she says, أَيُّ الْمُسْلِمِينَ خَيْرٌ مِنْ أَبِي طَلْحَةٍ. Excuse me, مِنْ أَبِي سَلَمَةٍ. أَيُّ الْمُسْلِمِينَ خَيْرٌ مِنْ أَبِي سَلَمَةٍ. Which of the Muslims is better than Abu Salama? This is her thought about her husband. And she knows he was a righteous man. And she's supposed to, oh, give me something better. And she's thinking to herself, who is better? Who is better than Abu Salama? رضي الله عنه. She says, أول بيت هاجر إلى رسول الله صلى الله. He was the first home, the first family to make hijrah to the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم. She's thinking this to herself, and then what does she do? She said, ثم إني قلته. She said, then I just said it. I said it. And I thought about it like this, but then this is what the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said to say. Yani, who's better than Abu Talib? Well, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said to say this at time of calamity. So she said it. So she says, فَأَخْلَفَ اللَّهُ لِي رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمُ. Allahu Akbar. So Allah gave me in return the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم. Now, so she said, عَرْسَلَ إِلَيَّ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمُ حَاطِبَ ابن أبي بَلْتَعَ يَخْطُوبُنِي. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he sent حاطب ابن أبي بَلْتَعَ to يَخْطُوبُنِي. What's it called? Al-Khitbah, ask for her hand. You want to propose. That's the word I'm looking to propose for him. I need to ask for her hand. Now, to propose in marriage for him. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So she said, Inna li bintan wa ana ghayur. She said, verily, I have a daughter and I'm very jealous. Wa ana ghayur. Jealous, and here not mean jealous that somebody has good, but jealous for, yani, a jealousy that is like out of love. And for honor of one's right and one's honor and respect and reputation, jealous has ghayur like this, and if she doesn't want nobody to be around her husband like this, her man, so she's ghayur like this. She said about herself, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, as for your daughter, then we'll make du'a that Allah will suffice her from you, and as for your ghayra, they will make du'a that Allah will take it away, that Allah will take it away. In any case, we see that she married the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and she was from those righteous companions and wives of the Prophet Salama. It's very beneficial to know the companions and to know the Salaf, and for the sisters to know the women, and alhamdulillah, to know their kunya. Also, I remember a benefit also, and it's from the sunnah likewise of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sometimes to give the children kunya. And the Prophet, he would play like one. There was a yeah, Abu Numair, ma fa'al al Nughair, Abu, huh? Abu Umair, Abu Umair, ma fa'al al Nughair, Jazakallah khairan. Yeah, Umair, yani Amir. The Prophet sallallahu, yeah, Abu Umair, naam, yeah, Abu Umair, ma fa'al al Nughair. Yani the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave one of the companions a kunya like this whenever one of it was a child. And he had a pet bird and it died and the likes like this. In any case, the point is, yani to have kindness and gentleness with the children, and from that is to give them a kunya. And some of the sons of Sheikh Zayd al-Madkhari, rahimahullah, he mentioned to me that his father would give them kunyas whenever they were little, and this is something that, you know, makes them feel special. And sometimes you talk to them with the kunya like this. This is good in the tarbiyah of the children. Naam, and give them a kunya that is good. And also from the rights of the children, by the way, to give them a good name. A good name. And the good name is the name of the righteous. Names of the righteous. Names of the righteous people. These are the good names that we should give them. Naam, Salama. Naam. And what's the kunya of Aisha? Umm Abdullah, Umm Abdullah, Umm Abdullah, Naam, Umm Abdullah, Umm Abdullah. This is the kunya of Maryam bin Samir. And Umm Salama is the kunya of Khadija bin Samir. Umm Abdullah wa Umm Salama. Hafidhahum Allah ta'ala wa iyakum wa awladakum jami'an. Naam, Zawja Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She's narrating the narration now. She says, Qala ja'at Umm Sulaym, another woman, Allahu Akbar, another sahabiya. Sulaym. Who's Sulaym? Another Sahabiya and another kunya. Sulaym. Who's that? She has a very famous son. She has a very famous son. Sulaym, she was very righteous and pious, radiallahu anha, and she was very intelligent likewise. She was very bright and she was very well-mannered. And this has been mentioned about her in her biography. She's very well-mannered and very intelligent. Min aqad an-nisa, very, very intelligent and bright, and also very well-mannered. And she had lots of knowledge also from the fuqaha. The women that have knowledge in the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal, from the women. But she's the mother also of a great companion. Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu. Sulaym, she's the mother of Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu. Who's her sister? I hope the sisters know, because we took in the sister's class the sister of Sulaym. If they remember, maybe they can text somebody if they know. Sunam. Haram. Hasant. Haram binti Milhan. Haram. Haram binti Milhan. Milhan. She was the wife of Ubadah ibn Samit. But before she was married, it's mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would visit and he would see her. He was asleep one time, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then he woke up laughing, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She said, "What makes you laugh?" He said, "Verily, I seen my ummah uridat alayya ummati, my ummah or some of my ummah was presented to me, and they are riding on the back of the ocean like kings upon thrones," and she said, "Oh, Messenger of Allah, make dua that I'll be from them." He said, "You're from them." Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, "You're from them." Oh, hadha, Haram bint Milhan, radiallahu, you're from them. Now, the indication that the soldiers of Allah Azza wa Jalla in jihad, they will go through the ocean. And like kings, meaning that they'll be well armed and they'll also be victorious, and they'll be going through the lands like kings, spreading the deen of Allah Azza wa Jalla, just as it occurred. And it happened, alhamdulillah. Then he went back to sleep, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He woke up laughing again, and he mentioned again the same thing. She said, "What makes you laugh?" And he mentioned the same thing. He said, "Make dua that I'm from them." He said, "No, you're from the first." group. Meaning there's going to be more than one group riding in the ocean like kings. Yani with weapons of war going through the land, spreading the tawheed, alhamdulillah. But anyway, she mentioned you're from them. From the first of them. And what is mentioned that in the time of Uthman, radiallahu anhu, they were allowed to go to battle in the sea. Umar, he did not allow them to battle in the sea. And then Uthman, he allowed them to battle in the sea, and he went. She went on a battle with Muawiyah and the likes, and she was riding in the sea, in the ocean. And whenever they docked and she was getting off, her animal fell and she died. She died, radiallahu anha. She died in this manner, and he's going into the sea with the soldiers and in the battle and the likes, radiallahu anha. This is Bint. This is Haram Bint Milhan. This is the sister of Sulaim. Sulaim. She is Sulaim Sahla Bint Milhan Al Ansariya. Now, and she is the mother of Anas. And her husband, what's her husband's name? And her son's name is Anas ibn Malik. So then she was married to Malik ibn Nadr. Malik ibn Nadr. Malik ibn Nadr, whenever she accepted Islam with the Ansar, and he did not accept Islam. He did not like her Islam, and the father of Anas, radiallahu anhu. And so he left to Sham, and he died there as a disbeliever, yadhin billah. And he died there as a disbeliever, yadhin billah. So there was another man who sought her hand in marriage. And tonight we talk about some of the companions, Ali. If it was any, we would talk about each one of them every time, but there's so many benefits here to know about them and to know about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Somebody asked for her hand. His name is Abu Talha. Abu Talha, he was not a believer. Sulaim, at that time, Abu Talha, at that time, he was not a believer. Sulaim radiallahu anha, she said to him, "If you accept Islam, then I'll marry you. And you don't have to give me anything for sadaq. You know mahr." So he accepted Islam. So he accepted Islam, radiallahu anhu, Abu Talha. And he married Sulaim. Who married them? Anas ibn Malik, radiallahu anhu. Her son married them together. Now, what was the mahr for Sulaim? What does she want? Ferrari, mansion, gold ring, diamonds. Accept Islam. Accept Islam. Accept Islam. He accepted Islam. Talha, Abu Talha. He became from the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He witnessed Badr. He witnessed Uhud. He witnessed the battles with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he fought alongside of him, protecting him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. These are our pious predecessors. This is who we want to be like. This is who we want to be like. We don't want to be like anybody who is not like them. We don't want to be like anybody who is not like them. Sulaim. Sulaim, so we have two of them, Sulaim and Haram. Sulaim and Haram, they're sisters. They have a brother. They have a brother. And Sulaim bint Milhan. Haram bint Milhan. There's another one, Ibn Milhan. Who is he? Haram. Haram. Haram, she has a son named Haram. Her kunya is Haram. Then she has a brother named Haram. She has a brother named Haram. Haram ibn Milhan. Do you know about him? He was a believer. He was a believer. Radiallahu anhu. He was a believer. They're from Bani? Bani Sulaim. So, from the Ansar, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he sent Haram ibn Milhan and a group of Bani Sulaim to talk to some people and to invite them to Islam from the mushrikeen. He sent them sallallahu alayhi wasallam in a group, and they went on an excursion, and they went to talk to these people to call them to Islam. Whenever they get close to where they are, Haram radiallahu anhu, he said to his companions, "You guys stay here, I'm gonna go talk to them. If they let me talk to them, you just stay here. You know, if they do something, then you're close to me." You know, but he took the lead. "You stay here. You stay here. I'll take care of it." He went to them and he talked to them. And he asked them, "You know, can I talk to you?" So they came out to him and talked to him. Haram ibn Milhan radiallahu anhu. Stories in Bukhari and other than that. And he was telling them about the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal. And one of them went like this, أومأ إلى صاحبه. He indicated to his friend. And his friend came out with a spear and stuck it through his back until they went out the other side. You know what he said? Fustu wa Rabb al-Kaaba. He said, I won. First he said, Allahu Akbar, Fustu wa Rabb al-Kaaba. I won. Allahu Akbar, I won. I swear by the Lord of the Kaaba. Fustu al-Fawz is when somebody wins. You win. I won, literally, I won. Fustu. Allahu Akbar, the spear goes through him. He's trying to call to Allah Azza wa Jalla. He just wants to call him to Allah. They stuck him through his back until they come through his front. He said, Allahu Akbar, Fustu wa Rabb al-Kaaba. I swear by Allah, I won. I swear by the Lord of the house. Can you imagine that? Some people, if they think about winning, all they think about is putting a ball in a basket. He won. Somebody talks about winning. What do you think about winning? He won. So he ran faster than him. He won. Oh, he put a ball in a basket. Oh, he won. He kicked the ball in a net. The winner. La. The winner is the one who dies upon Tawheed. The winner is the one who dies upon Sunnah. This is the understanding of the Salaf. Fustu. Fustu wa Rabb al-Kaaba. Allahu Akbar. This is how they think. He's calling to Allah. He's telling them about the deen of Allah. Next thing you know, a spear goes from one side to the other side. And this is what comes to his mind. Allahu Akbar. Fustu wa Rabb al-Kaaba. This is success. This is tawfiq. This is, I won. Wallahi, he won. He won. And this is da'wah. You don't even know. Subhanallah. This is an amazing story. What do you say about that man who came behind him and snuck up on him and stabbed him with a spear? Think before you speak. That statement had an effect on him. Fustu wa Rabb al-Kaaba. Allahu Akbar, Fustu wa Rabb al-Kaaba. I swear by Allah, Akbar, I swear by Allah, I won. He started thinking later on, what do you mean? I stuck him with a spear through his back. And he said he won. And Allahu Akbar, this had an effect on him. That man, he accepted Islam. Later on, he accepted Islam and his Islam became good. He accepted Islam and the Muslimun accepted Islamahu. They accepted his Islam. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Fustu wa Rabb al-Kaaba. This is winning. People think they're going to... A'udhu billah, somebody, he said he won the lottery. A'udhu billah, wallahi, failure. Failure. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. He won. A'udhu billah. Winning is to be obedient to Allah. Winning is to be upright on the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Winning is to know who your Lord is and to worship Him in the manner He's pleased with. Winning is to know who your Prophet is sallallahu alaihi wasallam and love Him sincerely and follow His way. Fustu wa Rabb al-Kaaba. This is the example of a believer. Wallahi, this is the example of a believer. Alhamdulillah. Haram ibn Milhan, radiyallahu anhu. This is the case. After that, they killed his companions too. One of them survived. One of them survived, but it was mentioned. Even there was some verses that were recited about this incident, and then those verses were removed. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was informed revelation that what they said. He said, "And to akhbir Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam al-mu'minin, anna laqina Rabbana, faradhiya anna wa ardana." And he's pleased with us. To inform the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that we met our Lord and he was pleased with us and that we're pleased with him. This was revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that they met their Lord and he was pleased. That's why he said fustu. That's the fawz. ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْفَوْزُ الْكَبِيرُ. Yani that he met Allah azza wa jalla and Allah was pleased with him. Allah was pleased with him. And then Allah made them pleased as well. Allahu Akbar. These are the Salaf al-Salih. Radiallahu anhum wa ardahum. Naam, Sulaim. So we see Salama radiallahu anha, she's narrating this. Another woman came. Jaat Ummu Sulaim. We know Sulaim now, huh? Righteous woman. Very wise. There was something else about Sulaim. What did she do? Whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qadima al-Madinah. He came to the whenever Prophet sallallahu alayhi first came to Medina. Sulaim did something else. Also indicating her great intelligence and wisdom. You got it. Don't be shy. Ahsant. Now, she brought Anas. She brought Anas to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's a young boy. He said, "Hada Anas yakhdimuk." And this is a great opportunity. This is a great opportunity for her son. She said, "My son, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's coming here. Here is my son. This his name is Anas. He's going to take care of you. He's going to serve you. He's going to serve you." So from that, he narrated many narrations. He served the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for 10 years as a young boy. as a young boy, radiallahu anhu, Anas ibn Malik. This is from the wisdom and from the great intelligence of this woman, Sulaim. This is who our daughters want to be like. They have to. They should want to be like, and the Muslim women, they want to be like Sulaim. They want to be like Salama. They want to be like Haram, and we want to be like. We want to be like them also. We want to be like Haram. We want to die whenever Allah is pleased with us. We want to die upon piety and righteousness. We don't want to die in the street doing this and doing that. We don't want to die, na'udhu billahi min su' khatima. Now, so the Prophet Sulaim, she says that, astaghfirullah. Salama, she says that Sulaim, she came, the wife of Abi Talha, radiallahu anhum, to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she asked, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Before she asked, we also see her intelligence and her good manners, radiallahu anha. She come to ask about the issue that we're aware of, sah? About ihtilam. Ihtilam is a wet dream. Al ihtilam, just have a wet dream. She's asking about this for the women. Before that, because this is something that's shy to mention in general. A man is shy to mention it, much less a woman. So, but she comes and she presents, before she asks this question that one would be shy to ask, she presents a good introduction. Inna Allaha la yastahi min al-haq. Ya Rasulullah, inna Allaha la yastahi min al-haq. O Messenger of Allah, verily Allah, He's not shy from the truth. And meaning that this is an affair of the deen, so I'm going to ask you something that, you know, a lot of times maybe one will be shy to say it, but Allah is not shy about the truth. I need to know the ruling. Yani, so this is from her good manners likewise. And a believer, he benefits from that. If a believer is going to say something to somebody, and he needs to ask them a question or present something to them, and it's something that's not really befitting sometimes to mention directly, or it's something that's strange or could be misunderstood, that a person in the beginning, he'll mention something first to indicate that, or to make an excuse for himself. We see in another companion, he did that likewise, similar like this.
Ali.
Huh? Ali. Ahsant. He sent al-Miqdad to go ask about the Madhi. Ahsant, Allah Mubarak, another companion in the morning class. Kitab al-Tawheed. Abu Waqid al-Laythi, he said that we went on the battle of Hunayn with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَنَحْنُ هُدَثَاءُ أَحْدٍ بِالْكُفْرِ. He's narrating the narration, but then he's telling first, but we went on the battle and this happened, but we are new Muslims. We're new Muslims. And he's making the excuse in the beginning. And he's giving the muqaddimah, the introduction before the issue is presented. That way the issue will be clear and understood for the listener. Like here, Sulaim, she did something similar like this. This is from the good manners, from the noble manners. If it's something that is could be misunderstood or could not be from the best things to mention or to talk about, but there's a necessity, then a person, he will mention a brief muqaddimah like this. Verily Allah, He's not shy from the truth. هل على المرأة من غسل إذا هي احتلمت. Does a woman have to make غسل, يعني جنابة, if she has احتلام? So the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said yes, if she sees the fluid, if she sees the ماء, يعني if she sees the fluid. Now from the benefits of this narration, we see that a person, a believer, is not shy to ask the truth. And if there is a ruling that one is not aware of, he will ask. He will not just stay upon ignorance. And this is what is an obligation upon unbeliever. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He says, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلِ ذِكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. That you must ask the people of knowledge if you do not know. So what is incumbent upon a believer, whether he's a scholar or a student of knowledge or a layman, if they come to an issue that they do not know and it's incumbent for them to know, they have to ask. They have to ask the one that they trust in their knowledge and their creed and their manners and their deen. And they must ask them and find out. They wouldn't be shy. Say, oh, this is related to my family. This is related to my personal issue. Like this, that. This is, if it's with regards to al-hukm al-shar'i, a legislative ruling, a believer, he has to find out. He has to ask, he has to know. He has to do what he can in order to learn. Now, also from the benefits of this narration, we see that the things that necessitate a ghusl is, we have seen before, al-jima'. But also any al-jima', that is whenever there is intercourse, any with insertion, whether there is inzal, any ejaculation or not, and even if there is intercourse with or without ejaculation, there's a must for a ghusl. If there is ejaculation without intercourse, there's a must for a ghusl. And this is a proof for that right here. And also supporting evidence for that, the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, innama al-ma'u min al-ma', that the water, yani ghusl, is because of the fluid that comes out. And so if it comes out in a dream, even at nighttime, and one is unaware of it, then also this necessitates ghusl. He has a major hadith. So that means if a person, if he saw the dream or not, but he woke up in the morning, إِذَا هِيَ رَأَتَ الْمَاءِ, if she sees, nam, إِذَا هِيَ رَأَتَ الْمَاءِ, nam, if she sees the fluid. So this is the condition. Like sometimes maybe somebody will see something and wake up, and then it will be there. Or sometimes somebody will not see anything and wake up, and then it's there. And in both times, it's an obligation to make ghusl. An obligation to make ghusl. From the meanings of some of the ulama, they mentioned al-amana. Inna aradna al-amanata ala samawati wal-ardi wal-jibal. Fa'abayna ay yihmilnaha. One of the meanings, which is only a tafsir from mithal, giving the explanation or interpretation by making an example, from the meaning, what is included in the amana, is ghusl janaba. Ghusl janaba, this is an amana. This is an amana, a trust, and it has to be performed. So whether there is the intercourse and along with ejaculation, whether both of them or one of them, if there's intercourse at all, any the two parts touch, this necessitates ghusl. If there is ejaculation, this necessitates ghusl, with or without the relation, like this. Or even if one has a dream like this, and then he sees the fluid, whether he saw the dream or he does not saw the dream, whether he remembers the dream or he does not remember the dream, even if he just wakes up and then the fluid is there, that known fluid, then this also, it necessitates ghusl. And these are from the ahkam shar'iyyah that a person is held accountable for. And this is from that knowledge that's obligatory for a believer to know. This is not knowledge that, and he is extra. It's obligatory for a brother and sister to know what to do if they see this fluid. What to do if they see this fluid. So also we see that this is from the Allah Azza wa Jal. He is not shy from the truth. لا يستحي من الحق. But it has been narrated authentically on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, collected in Sunan Abi Dawud, Tirmidhi, also in Ibn Majah, and also collected by Imam Ahmed from the hadith of Salman al-Farisi radiyallahu anhu. He said, إِنَّ رَبَّكُمْ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى حَيِّيٌ كَرِيمٌ. That verily Allah, He is hayy, meaning He has haya. From the descriptions of Allah Azza wa Jal, haya. Then this is from the sifat of Allah Azza wa Jal that are understood in a manner befitting His majesty, without any resemblance whatsoever to the creation. Nam, or liking them, or asking how, without denying them likewise. Whether Allah Azza wa Jal, from His sifat, is al-haya. Nam, as it befits his glory and His majesty, subhanahu wa ta'ala, hayyun kareem. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, yastahyi min abdihi idha rafa'a yadayhi ilayhi an yuruddahuma sifran. That Allah is hayy, He's described with haya, and He's also kareem, generous, He's described with karam. Subhanahu wa ta'ala kama yaliku li jalalihi wa azamatihi subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he's shy from his servant if he raises his hands to him and supplicates to return them without anything. This is from the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal. But here Allah is not shy from the truth. Inna Allah la yastahi ay yadriba mathalan ba'udatan fama fawqaha. Allah is not, He's not shy from the from the haqq. In any case, this attribute has been affirmed on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, al-haya, in a manner befitting His Majesty subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, it has been narrated, yani from Ya'la bin Abi Umayyah radiyallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna Allah azza wa jal hayyun satir, yuhibbu al-haya wa yuhibbu al-satir." فَإِذَا اكْتَصَلَ أَحَدُكُمْ فَلْيَسْتَتِرْ. That verily Allah is hayy, and He's described with haya, and also He is a satir, the one who covers the faults, and He loves modesty and shyness, and He loves covering. So if one of you makes iktisal, then he should cover himself. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.